guys, welcome to episode 144 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I am joined by the vivacious, vicious Vicky. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today, I am joined by the vivacious, vicious Vicky. So how are you doing today?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, actually, we're planning to get snow here tonight after it was just 80 degrees like 10 days ago here from upstate New York. So it's crazy, the weather. But firstly, how have you stayed motivated during this last year of craziness in the world?
Well, I mean, it was definitely difficult, you know, especially with wrestling, like kind of having your life all planned out and mapped out and, you know, being on the road every weekend and just having a life, essentially, to literally losing everything and having to, you know, figure out what to do next. I mean, you know, when you start getting on top of things, I specifically take everything back to wrestling because it's majority of my life, you know, and to lose all of that and to have to kind of figure out, like, am I going to lose this opportunity now? You know, it was kind of scary. Like, I was, you know, starting to make a name for myself and, you know, do things that I, you know, was grateful for. And then everything was just taken away. So I definitely experienced, a whirlwind of, like, depression, anxiety. I started developing, like, really bad anxiety after that. And, you know, I kind of felt like, again, like, what do I do next?
Yeah.
You know, I kind of felt like I lost what I loved, and it was scary to think that it might never come back.
Yeah. So during that time, if you were having an off day, what were some of the ways you would lift yourself up or, like, kind of just boost your spirits?
Well, at the time I did live with my, my then boyfriend. And he was really good, you know, having to living with somebody during that time and not, like, being alone or whatever. It was, he would help and whatnot and just being around him and whatever. But, you know, I didn't see my family for a while as well, but then we all started to kind of cave and saw each other with masks on and whatever, because we really didn't know what the heck was going on. You know, I had to work out at home, so working out at home was definitely one thing that helped me, you know, like, trying to cope and just trying to put focus into things that were, like, important and healthy, like building relationships with your significant other, your family, or yourself. Meaning, like, physical and, like, fitness and all that. So that's kind of where I, like, it was a struggle, though, you know. Like, I have a very diverse background of issues, so to speak, very open about it. So I'm not, you know, naive or naive to that fact. But, you know, it was a really hard time for me. You know, it was hard to kind of find things that I could say, hey, like, I'm going to do this today. I was like, well, do I want to do this today? Because I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, it was just like, it was like a figuring out trial period of life almost, it felt like, you know. It was crazy.
Yeah, you talk about having those struggles, and something that really struck me about you is you've been really open a lot with your struggles that you've had in your life, and the fact that you've not only prevailed, but you've been such a role model to so many people, I feel like. From what I've seen nothing but positive things about you. So how does it kind of feel to know that you've overcome so much and that you're now in a position where you can be an inspiration to a lot of people?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely means a lot to me. My biggest thing that I learned, and it's like having the addiction background and, you know, the mental health background and all these different things that come with that, you know, being an addict opened my eyes to, like, a world of things that I didn't even know existed within myself. That's why, like, some people, like, and sometimes, even sometimes for me, I'm like, God, I wish I didn't waste all those years, you know, like, just doing that crap. But then in the same token, I catch myself fairly quickly saying, well, no, because it made me who I am today. And it made me, like, realize so many things I didn't realize, such as, like, you know, my grandmother used to always tell me when I was a kid and I didn't know what it meant. And it was because our family always went through something. Like, we always went through something. And I'm sure everybody has their stories, but just, you know, my particular family, we always, like, had something go wrong.
Yeah.
We're just such good people. We just can never understand, like, why us, you know? And my grandma used to always say, like, because we're overcomers. And, you know, she's like 80, or 90 years old at this point, like in a nursing home, rheumatoid arthritis, can barely walk, and she's just going to outlive all of us, I'm pretty convinced. But, you know, it's like, it's so true. It's like having that warrior mentality, that goddess mentality that I always say. Like, it's just, it really does ring true. And, you know, like I said, like being an addict, you don't realize, like, until you get dived or you dive into some sort of program of recovery that, like, you know, you have insecurities, you have all these different things that make up who you are as that being that you can actually work on. And it's all the things that I wanted to hide and cover up mm-hmm. with my addiction. And it's crazy when you like get sober, how you're like, what was wrong with mm-hmm. me? And it's like, I have the power to actually change these things about me that I don't like, you know? So it's just a lot, but you know, it really did make me who I am. And do I regret sometimes like wasting time essentially? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish that I, you know, was smarter at the time and was able to kind of catch it and be like, hey, like, this is not how you want to live your life. You know, you're going to miss out on a lot. And I did, you know, I missed out on a lot. I missed out on a hell of a lot of opportunities in life and, you know, things I could have done differently. And I just, but you know what, like, I'm living my wildest dreams right now, you know? So it all was worth it in the end.
Yeah, and like you said, you are a goddess, which I think it is very fitting that you're the TCW goddess champion, but you've overcome so much, and you go out of your way, from what I've seen from a few people that I follow, you go out of your way to kind of be a positive influence for others when you don't necessarily have to, because wrestling is supposedly a selfish business, but from what I've seen from you, you go out of your way, and you're so humble, and you are always willing to help out others and inspire and motivate them, so that's something I really, really admire about you. You've taken your story and you've turned it into something positive, and you leave yourself vulnerable to share your story and inspire and overcome. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing, and this is what I've realized over time, is like, there's somebody out there who's going through or went through what mm-hmm. I did and didn't have the courage to actually say something about it.
Yeah.
Or recognize it. And it's like, I would be completely selfish if I didn't share that with somebody else and maybe help somebody else. You know, it's something that I've learned and overcame. So it's like, why would I not, you know, want to spread that to somebody else and maybe give them courage and hope that they can change too, and that it's possible to live your dreams, you know?
Yeah. And so what do you think has been one of the most powerful things or pieces of life advice that you have been given that has stuck with you? Is it the fact that you are an overcomer in your family, or is there something else too that stands out to you that you've like heard in your lifetime that stands out to you?
I think just the biggest thing is like going through everything that I went through. Like, my family's always been like super supportive of me, and I've always like grown up in an environment, you know, where we give our best, we do our all, and you're a lover, not a fighter, like that kind of thing. And I just think that mentality being embedded in me on top of like what I've been through, because I've been through more than just addiction. I've been through all types of like mm-hmm. assault and abuse and just a lot for mm-hmm. a 27-year-old. Like when mm-hmm. I was like 22, I'm like, what is my life and why mm-hmm. am I going through all this stuff? You know, it was just so much. But like I always like at the end of the tunnel, like the light was still there for me. You know, like I never got that like sense of like giving up. So I think just knowing that I got through one thing, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, here's another test. I got through that. And just seeing how like life kept showing up and I kept getting through mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
Which is why when people go through things, I'm like, hey man, I know it's a cliche, mm-hmm. but this too shall pass, because it always does. You know, there's nothing that we can't handle that's thrown at us in life. So I'm a firm believer of just, if we can get through one bad day, it's not a bad life, just a bad day.
Oh, for sure. And I know one of those lights or influences in your life, and we're all about girl power here on A Wrestling Gal, I know a huge influence of yours, at least in the world of wrestling, was your girl Lita. So can you tell me more about your Lita shelves of figures, autographs, and even DVDs, if I'm correct?
Yes. So I am a ridiculous Lita and Hardy fan, like mm-hmm. insane. That was like my first like loved in wrestling besides Stone Cold. He was my first like, you know, visual. But like, I don't know. I've always loved her. I've always loved them. And I have this like pretty sick little collection going on brewing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big Matt Hardy fan. I love them both,
yes,
but I love Matt Hardy. So I have a bunch of Matt Hardy figures, a bunch of Lita. I'm trying to catch up on Jeff, but I do have designated shelves for them because, you know, they're important to me. But it's just, I see one, I'm like, oh, I don't have that one. I got to get that. It's like a hunt. You know, collecting's like a hunt.
Yeah, Lita and the Hardys are amazing people. And I even know you even got Lita's name tattooed on your neck. Is that correct as well?
I sure do.
Yeah, so when did that happen? And what was the story regarding that?
So funny story, actually. She has on her neck a tattoo, and it's Red Bull in Russian letters. It's like Russian.
Okay.
And because she had the tattoo on her neck of a name, I decided to get her name tattooed on my neck.
Oh, okay. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it goes back since I was like 6 years old. So it was like a forever thing. And that was one of my first tattoos. And people were like, you're going to regret it. And I was like, nope, it's been 10 years and I don't regret it still. So.
Now, on the topic of tattoos, as someone like me who has never actually gotten one, was there a certain piece or tattoo that was the most painful to get?
Honestly, probably the one on my arm. That's like the arm, the shoulder. Also, my shoulder tattoo. I have a shoulder tattoo with two skulls on it. That is also inspired by Lita as well. I didn't want to completely copy her because that's crazy. But she does in her little dragon green, you know, her trademark tattoo on her right shoulder. She has like, there's like some green, it looks like green, like scales or leaves, like around the face of this said dragon, right?
Yeah.
So, to kind of pay homage a little bit, I got green leaves like on the end of my skull. So it's not completely her skull, but just a little something. So she inspired me to get the tattoo on my shoulder. So that's where that came from too. But I would say definitely my arm, because when they had to go around like the under, like your underarm, that hurt really bad.
Ooh.
Yeah, it hurt.
So how many tattoos do you think or do you know of that you have in total right now?
Let's say 1, 2, 3, 6.
Okay, fair number.
Yeah.
Do you have any new tattoo ideas or plans in mind? I don't know about the status of like tattoo parlors and stuff right now, but have you been craving for any new tattoos?
Honestly, no. Okay. I do have to finish the one on my shoulder. It's due to like be a little like shaded in, like I'm missing colors in it. But I think I'm done. I'm not sure yet. I'm not going to sit here and say yes or no, but I think I'm done. But I do have one on my left forearm, my front of my forearm that I got with an ex-boyfriend. Not my most recent ex, like an ex-ex-ex. And it's not his name or anything, but it just, he has one too. And I'm like, I don't want this. He tries to ruin my life and my career, so I don't want it.
Damn, girl. Yeah, I get you on that one. I can only imagine. But yeah, I feel like tattoos are, there's good and there's bad. At least though that you can probably cover it up with something really cool in mind, if you had something in mind. Yeah.
For sure. So that's why I'm like, this is an easy fix, I think.
Okay, good. At least there's that. Now,
exactly.
Now, switching gears here, you obviously work a lot in the New Jersey area, so you are very familiar with the likes of Notorious Mimi and Gabby Ortiz. So can you tell us more about your friendship with them inside and outside of the ring?
Yeah, so Gabby is definitely, I would definitely consider her one of my besties in the business, for sure. We developed a really close friendship over the years. Same with Mimi. Gabby just, you know, me and Gabby just have a different kind of relationship. Yeah. But Mimi, I've definitely, both of us, I mean, we're talking like maybe 20 matches against each other.
Yeah.
The same. You know, we wrestle each other quite a bit. So, you know, just to have, but it's the chemistry too. I've also wrestled Gabby more than at least 6 times, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have this ongoing feud, and if you want to call it that, in the indie scene. And it's actually exciting because people look forward to it. You know, they might see us, but we both are, let's say for me and Mimi, we both are still evolving all the time. So it's actually interesting because we always whip something new out every single match. So it's the same, but it's not. So it's cool to kind of work with someone that you trust and you know their stuff. And it's just, I'm waiting for it to end one day, but I don't know. It seems like every company we go to, we're hooked back up again, me and Mimi. So,
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you, in situations like that where you have repeatedly worked with the same performer, how do you continue to elevate or create new magic in your performances in the ring with opponents like those that you've worked with so many times?
Well, it's just a matter of evolving as individuals. And then when you come together, you know, you kind of mix that together. So let's say, you know, me and Mimi do this starring spot. Well, maybe today she wants to try something different. She'll trust me to do it with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a matter of, you know, if it's something new that wasn't practiced over and over. Not that we do things in the ring that we don't practice, but obviously when you get to a certain level, you trust yourself, you know you can do it. You know, it's just a matter of doing it with somebody else or trying it with somebody else. And, you know, what better person to do it with than someone who knows all your stuff and you can trust, you know? So, you know, there are definitely different things that we've tried and done together. But I think it all goes down to the level of trust you have for the opponent as well.
Now, in your wrestling collective as a whole, what do you think is the coolest new trick or move that you've done in the ring that you're really, really proud of?
Well, I did just have a match against Masha Slamovich.
Yeah, you did.
That was very hard hitting. I don't want to spoil too much because it's going to come out soon.
Yeah.
But I trusted her. She said, I got you. We could do this. I'm like, okay. Like, she trusted me that I could do it. And I whipped out some things that I really don't want to spoil.
Okay.
But I was like, holy hell, I did that. Like, that was pretty freaking cool. So, you know, I would have to say that match particularly. You know, I started to go off the top rope. I was doing like a frog splash. That's been new for me. You know, just trying to do like different things, think outside the box a little bit, you know?
Yeah, of course. You're all about evolving, like you keep saying, and trying out new stuff. I mean, you won't know till you try it out, right? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You can say that you still tried it.
Exactly.
Now, if you could have any celebrity be your manager for a night out to the ring, who would you choose and why?
Celebrity or wrestler?
Celebrity.
I would have to pick Robert Downey Jr. because who wouldn't want Tony Stark, Iron Man, to manage them to the ring?
Okay, that'd be a fun combo with Tony Stark and Vicious Vicky. That'd be funny. Huh.
Tony Stark, baby. That's my man.
Okay. Now, also along those lines, another fun question. Is there a certain match stipulation that you'd like to tackle that you haven't yet, since you're all about trying out new things?
Well, it was a ladder match, and I got my wishes granted, so that's been on my bucket list, and my wishes were granted, so.
Okay. Now, are you open to other, like, hardcore matches or matches where it's non-conventional as well?
Kind of like deathmatch wrestling?
Yeah, I suppose something like that, or something where you use, like, foreign objects or something that's not just, like, mat-based wrestling.
Yes and no. So Here's my take on that. I would, like, a ladder match to me is kind of like stepping outside, even though it's technically like, you know, like WWE stuff, you know what I'm saying? But I would say, like, I want to make it, and I feel like I need to protect myself, you know? And like, if I were to be doing, hypothetically, deathmatch wrestling, I'm putting myself at a huge risk to end my career. You know, so it's like, they trust the person I'm with 100%, but they're doing like half the time they're doing like real stuff to each other. So it's like, I wouldn't want to risk, you know, cinching my eye out or like, you know, like just something goes wrong and then I'm screwed. I can't chase my dream anymore. You know, so that's why I try to keep what I do to the basics. And that's honestly why, like, besides my character, doesn't do flashy stuff.
Yeah.
I can do athletic things. That's why I try to incorporate more stuff, because I can do these things, but my character wouldn't do that. So that's why, you know, I try to like preserve myself and do things that are like, you know, technically like, how do I put it? Like, make sense for me to do, but I'm also preserving my body in the meantime. You know, I try not to be too risky, because I want to make it. And I know that, you know, if I do put myself in a situation where I can get seriously hurt, I'm done. And I don't want to give up just yet. So
that makes sense. You know, that's a new take, but it also makes sense. You want to preserve yourself and be wary of your health too, and be sure that you're in your greatest shape of your life, where you have the best chance to make it, as you say. So that completely makes sense. Yeah,
exactly. Yep.
Now, switching gears here, we have to talk about this amazing event coming up this weekend on April 24th at Invictus Pro Wrestling, entitled In Bloom, where you take on Vanity and Riley Shepherd in a triple threat match. So what are your thoughts heading into this matchup going against these two opponents specifically?
So I wrestled both of them. So yeah. Riley, I just wrestled last weekend, and that was a really good match. And Vanity, I wrestled when I was super green. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to kind of step in the ring with both of them at the same time now and kind of seeing, you know, where we're all at. You know, again, I know where Riley is because we just wrestled, mm-hmm. but Vanity I haven't seen in quite a while. So it'd be interesting to kind of get back in with her and, you know, see where the involvement happened. You know, I love that. Like, when you don't see someone for a while. It's the same thing with me and Masha this weekend. Like, we wrestled, like, 3 years ago. And I'm like, please, I tell people, I'm like, please don't watch that match. I was like, that's my first, like, one of my first matches. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it was awful. Not on her end. On mm-hmm. my end, I'm like, don't watch that. But just to kind of, like, taste it again. And also, like, you know, triple threat matches are complicated mm-hmm. because it's just, you know, you got three people who want the same thing. So, you know, it's all a matter of just kind of communicating with each other and, you know, seeing whose strengths and where the weaknesses are and go from there.
Yeah, so Vanity is returning, I believe, for the first time since December. At least that's what I could gather from when she talked to me. So in instances where, like that, where you're out for a few months, like especially an example would be last year with the whole pandemic and everything, how much of that took a toll on you, being out for so long and then coming back? How did that feel? Because I feel like she's possibly in that same situation where she's been out for about 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah, so I mean, we've all been there. We've all did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all lived through it. So I'm sure, like, you know, when you wrestle long enough, you may be a little rusty, but you mm-hmm. don't know, you don't forget what to do, you know? So I think it's just a matter of just getting the ring rust off, if anything. I wouldn't say it's a matter of, like, you know, not being able to do it. So I think that for me, like, when I had that time off, I was fortunate enough to have a place to go train.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you know, we were all very cautious, of course, but, you know, I was fortunate enough to have that and kind of keep that ring rust off, so.
At least there's that. Now, lastly, yeah. If you could travel to any place in the world right now, whether it be for wrestling or just a vacation spot, where do you think you would like to go and why?
Well, I'm Italian, so I would love one day to go mm-hmm. to Italy. That's like a bucket list item for sure.
Now, do you have any, since you said you are Italian, do you have any spots that you're kind of looking your eye in, or are you there more for family and such?
Oh, no, I mean, my family's like Italian-American.
So okay.
Like, my parents or anything weren't born out there.
Gotcha.
Like that. My great-grandparents were, so we have family out there, but we haven't, like, seen them. So it's not like, you know, if I went out there, I mean, you haven't even met them, you know, it's like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I would just go out there. I'd try to go with my family. Mm-hmm. Just, we all want to experience that really bad.
I bet. Now, before I let you go, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yeah. So Facebook, the Vivacious Vicious Vicky. Instagram is @_vicious_Vicky_, and the same for Twitter. And then I also have a YouTube. It's the Vivacious Vicious Vicky. You'll find it if you type that in. And yeah, I think that's it for me. That's all I got.
And don't forget to check out Invictus Pro Wrestling this Saturday, April 24th, where Vicky takes on Vanity and Riley Shepherd in a triple threat match at In Bloom. So thank you so much again for joining me today, Vicky. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And yes, you heard the woman. See me, Lane Supreme.
You heard it here first. Thank you again, Vicky.
Thank you.